Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome into the Thanksgiving edition of the Football Focus Podcast on Warwick Online and CranstonOnline.com. William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy. We've got some turkey bowls to talk about, as always. A fun time of year and some very interesting games on tap this year.
Yeah, three pretty good ones this year, especially you know the first one I think we're going to talk about here. East-West has some playoff ramifications, something it hasn't had in a while. Mm-hmm. And should really be an exciting Thanksgiving for everybody beyond just the fact that it's a Thanksgiving game.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's get right to it. Our game of the week for these turkey bowl games is the showdown in Cranston. First time in quite a while that the two teams have been battling for the same playoff spot. 1999, I believe, was the last time. Yeah. So the way it works is this. If East wins on Thanksgiving, it gets the final playoff spot in Division I. If West wins by 10 points and allows 34 points or fewer, then it gets that playoff spot. So it's not quite so simple for West. You throw in some tiebreakers. LaSalle's also involved. But basically, playoffs are up for grabs here.
Yep. I mean, there's that strange scenario where, like you just said, if somehow West wins only by a field goal and then East still gets in, that'll probably be a little bittersweet mm-hmm. for West if that was the case. But yeah. I don't think they can really think about that until it gets maybe late in the game right. and there's a two-point conversion right. or something like that they would need to actually get yep. the tiebreaker. Yep. But you can't let that kind of hang over your heads while you're playing. If you're West, I mean, you just want to go out there and try and win this game. I mean, that's hard enough as it is against an East team yeah. that's playing really well right now. So, actually, both teams are playing really well right now. Yeah. I think that's another thing that makes this matchup more intriguing is that they're not backing into this playoff spot. Yeah. East has won a couple in a row, is playing better offensively and defensively than it has for a little while. And West is the hottest team in the division at the moment with three straight wins. And has really, with its back against the wall, played itself back into this playoff position. So two teams that are playing as well as anybody in the division in terms of wins in a row and kind of clicking on both units right now.
Yeah. And the playoffs are obviously what everyone's talking about, what everyone's focused on. It adds a little extra layer to it. But even if that weren't the case, like you said, these teams are playing really well right now. So I think this will be one of the best Thanksgiving games Cranston's seen in a little while here.
Yeah.
It's got the potential to be.
Absolutely. And the obvious matchup is West defense, which has been good. East offense, which has been very good.
Right.
You know, you've pinned those against each other, and you figure whichever one holds up the best will probably come away with it. But in recent weeks, the other units, the kind of unheralded units, have played a little bit better. I mean, West gave up 28 points to East Providence, which probably they're not too happy with, but they scored 42, which is yeah. the most they've scored yeah. this season. And, I mean, they haven't even approached that number at any point
right.
this season.
Right.
So to be getting there when they're going to play East, who most likely will be able to score you know, a decent amount of points, that's going to give them a little more confidence that they're not just a defensive team, that they can kind of do things on both sides of the ball.
Yep. And West, you mentioned the 42 points. They've also run for almost 700 yards the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Their last two league games. So they've played very well. They've kind of put it together, and they had a tougher schedule at the beginning of the year. And, you know, Coach Steve Storr says, we were good then. You know, it just wasn't showing up because they had some tough games. They lost a heartbreaker to LaSalle. So they're a good team. And like you said, East is also playing well, playing better defensively. So let's talk about that first matchup, the East offense versus the West defense. It was a matchup kind of similar last year. I think East's offense has a little more potential this year. But in this first half of that Thanksgiving game last year, West gave up 8 points to a powerful East offense. The question is, can they do that again?
Yeah, it was hard last year. It always felt last year like East was eventually going to break out.
Yeah.
West was holding them down, but there were a couple drop passes, a couple turnovers. It felt like East was knocking on the door, and eventually they did. I think the West defense is probably a little bit better this year. Like you said, the East offense, rather, is probably a little bit better as well. So I think it's probably a similar situation. I mean, nobody's been able to hold East down except Hendricken mm-hmm. This entire year. Even when East has you know, went through that little rut in the middle of the season, they still scored 29, I think, against Portsmouth. They scored 37 in the loss to Barrington. So it's not like the offense hasn't produced even in the games they've lost. And I would expect that to probably happen here again, but it's just about limiting the damage. I mean, you know, Marvin has 17 touchdowns. He's probably going to catch the ball some.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've moved Marquis Monroe into the backfields. He's probably their most explosive player with the ball in his hands, and they've started to run the ball a little bit that way. And Alex Corbese is having the best statistical season of any quarterback in the state,
mm-hmm.
and one of the best probably in state history when you mm-hmm. really look at it. So it's about slowing them down. It's not about stopping them. And you know, I think that's something with the athletes that West has on defense with a solid linebacking corps and a couple of good corners out there in Alex Cordalesa and Olusaya Banjo that they can probably halt East on occasion. You know, you don't have to stop them every drive. You just can't let them score every drive.
And the thing with stopping East offense is I think to do that, you've got to get some help from East. Hendricken limited East to 7 points. And that was a situation where East had some turnovers, had some drop passes, some key conversions they couldn't make. You have to get that kind of help to limit them to less than 21 points, I think.
Yeah,
that's a fair statement because they're just so explosive. And Alex Corvasi, if this is going to be the first time you see him on Thanksgiving, you're going to see perhaps the most prolific passer in Cranston East history, which is pretty amazing when you think about that and the tradition that they've had. So it's an offense that can do a lot. Like you said, I think Alex Cordalesa will be key for West, a really good cornerback, one of the state leaders in interceptions. We'll match up with some of those good players for East. But it is going to be about just kind of trying to slow them down, trying to get enough of a grip on that game to keep East from blowing it open.
Yeah, and East has committed its fair share of turnovers this year. They've lost some fumbles. And West has done a good job of creating turnovers. A lot of interceptions. I mean, the occasional fumble, but they've done a really nice job when the ball's in the air of going up and attacking it. So, and the ball will be in the air in this game.
Yes,
that's one thing that East does. Even though they're trying to run the ball a little bit more, they're going to throw it. They're averaging probably 25 passes a game, somewhere in that range. So that's certainly not going to change. On the other side of the ball, West offense, like we said earlier, starting to come alive a little bit. East defense, really a weakness. I mean, to tell it like it is, was a weakness early in the year. I mean, that game against Barrington, they gave up 41 points and just couldn't stop anybody. Has improved, but where they've been hurt is runs up the middle. You know, they don't have the biggest linebackers in the world. When people have been able to get to that second level, it's been 5, 6, 7 yards a carry. West has three running backs in Isaiah Alvarez, Bam Hernandez, and Raekwon Kasilewicz that are all pretty talented. They're all running the ball really well right now. A big, good offensive line that's pretty confident, and a quarterback in Steven Furtado that's throwing the ball well, running the ball well himself. So they're really gelling at the right time and playing well at the right time, and they have the strengths that go right into East's weaknesses.
They really do, yeah. The teams that have given East trouble are teams that can pound the ball, that have really good running backs, and West is one of those teams. That side of the matchup, the West offense versus the East defense, kind of relates back to the other one, too, because West's best defense might be holding on to the ball, and putting together long, sustained drives. If they can put together some 6, 7, 8 minute drives, all of a sudden then it becomes tougher for East to score a lot of points, and it becomes, they have less of a margin for error at that point.
East has been known to score extremely fast when they get the ball. So yeah, you mentioned holding on to the ball, limiting their possessions, I think, is important. I mean, even if East scores, three quarters of the time they touch the ball, if they only touch the ball 6 times throughout the whole game, you've now held them below, that 34-point threshold and kind of made the game a little more reasonable in terms of the overall score. So, yeah, ball control I think will be very important for West. And they do it almost as well as anybody. I mean, they did it well against Barrington earlier in the year. They did it well against Hendricken into the third quarter before Hendricken finally broke out. And they did it well against LaSalle. I mean, they scored late in that game before LaSalle came back and scored late, obviously, as well. But they have shown they're not intimidated by these big games, by these good teams, by these tough teams. And I really think they can compete with anybody. Even with that 0-4 start, you mentioned Steve Storr said we were playing well then. And they really were. I mean, it wasn't always showing up exactly on the scoreboard. But I remember talking to the Hendricken coaches after that game, and they said that's the best team we've played so far. And they'd already played South Kingstown, who people thought were pretty good. It was just a team that had given them a little bit of trouble, and I don't know that anyone expected it, but here we are with the one game to go to decide the final playoff spot. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And all this breaking down, I mean, it still comes down to East versus West on Thanksgiving. And for a little reference point on how good this rivalry is, they've played 40 times. The series is tied 20-20. So I think you're in for a great one if you head out to Cranston Stadium on Thursday morning. We've got the Bolts winning this one 35-26. Let's move on to Warwick. And the big matchup, Pilgrim versus Vets, at Vets on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And very possibly the final Pilgrim Vets game in history.
Yeah, a little sad when you think about it.
It is.
Likely going to be a school closing after this year. Obviously, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably know that. That has been talked about a lot around these parts, but you know, all signs at the moment point to it probably being Vets. But even if it wasn't, you're going to cut it down to two public schools, and those are the teams that will probably end up playing on Thanksgiving. It just, you know, makes sense that way. So with that said, Pilgrim Vets on Thanksgiving is probably over after this year, which is, this is the 51st meeting. It's the fourth longest one in the state. You know, a lot of history there, and one of the better actual rivalries in the state. We just talked about East-West being 20-20. This one isn't quite as close, but it is not far off, 28-21-1, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, underdogs have won a lot of the games, oftentimes very close, usually a big crowd, a genuine rivalry. It's a really exciting, you know, good Thanksgiving experience.
Yeah, it really is. I think it'll be a huge crowd. I think a lot of people are going to want to watch this one and, you know, stand on the sidelines with their former teammates and reminisce. As far as this game goes, similar to last year, in some ways, Vets had the better season, and actually even a better season than they had last year. They went 4-3, missed out on the playoffs, but still had a really solid campaign. Pilgrim winless in league play, but they did pick up two league victories. They're a better team, even though their league record didn't show it, than they were last year. Last season, it was a 40-0 Vets victory, the largest in series history, dominated by TJ Boyajian. This year, I don't know that it's going to be like that. I think these two teams are a little closer than their records would indicate.
Yeah, I don't think it is going to be 40-0. I was a little surprised at that last year, but I would be shocked if that happened this year for multiple reasons. One, everyone knows the significance of this game in general. I don't think either team's just going to come out and lay an egg like that.
Yeah.
Because it is that last game, it's going to be a lot of emotion. It's going to be that big crowd. You know, there's going to be a lot of that going on in general. I just can't imagine one team won't show up. But other than that, I don't think they're that far off. I mean, I know Vets finished four games higher than Pilgrim in terms of their actual record. But looking at both sides of the division, Vets plays in 2A, Pilgrim plays in 2B. I mean, it's just no contest that 2B is much, much, much better than 2A by any measure.
I mean,
the only teams left in the Division 2 playoffs are all 2B. Division 2B won all the crossover games with 2A. I mean, Vets, which was the last team out in 2A, played North Kingstown, which was the last team out in 2B, and North Kingstown beat them by 34 points. I mean, it's just not really a contest. Had Pilgrim played in 2A, I don't know if they would have won four games, but they could have won two. They could have won three.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, I mean, they would have been competitive in the way that Vets was, I think, in the bottom part of that division. So you're not looking at an almost playoff team and a winless team, really. You're looking at two teams that are probably pretty comparable.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, definitely even teams. I think the difference in this game is that Vets has won games. You know, they know how to win games. They won a close game against Coventry with a two-point conversion. They won a close game against Westerly with a touchdown in the final 2 minutes. They've been there before. They won tough games last year. That's the biggest advantage they have right now in this game, I think. When you look at the matchups, could be pretty even, but I think Vets also has the advantage in the sense that Jesse Sidoma is probably going to be the best player on the field. And David McDonald can kind of anchor that defense and really, really give Vets a chance to dominate on that side of the ball.
Jesse probably will be the best offensive player when Vets has the ball, but that offense hasn't really been clicking lately.
That's true.
I mean, they got shut out by Mount Hope in the game they had to win to make the playoffs. They played North Kingstown in the crossover league, and who knows how crossover game, and who knows how motivated they really were for that one because they just missed the playoffs, but they only put up 6 points. So 8 quarters, they've scored 6 points. The Westerly game, they only scored 7 points. Johnston, they scored 21, but still not a huge number. So that offense isn't on fire like it was earlier in the season when they scored a bunch on Tollgate, scored a bunch on PCD, just really started off well. Whereas Pilgrim, you mentioned not really knowing how to win. I think there is something to that because it certainly had been a while, but at least they are coming off a win. You know, they were able to beat Tollgate, come back from a halftime deficit against a Tollgate team that has improved, that is playing better now than it was in the beginning of the season when Vets beat it 35-0. So, yeah, I think that's an advantage that Vets knows how to win, but it's been a little while and they have had a couple of tough losses and a couple of really not good losses. I mean, not games they have not performed very well in at all. So that's the last taste in their mouth, those things. And the last taste in Pilgrim's mouth is a win. I don't know that there is a huge advantage there on either side when you look at it from that perspective.
Vets, I think the key is trying to kind of recapture where they were. You know, they've had two, like you said, really tough games. The North Kingstown game and the crossover, and then losing the playoff elimination game against Mount Hope. before that, their defense had played really well. Their defense had played great against Woonsocket. They had almost beaten Johnson, if not for a last-second play. So it's about kind of getting back on track, being the team that they're capable of being. If they do that, I think they're a better team than Pogrom.
Probably. On paper, if you stack it up position by position, Vets is probably a little bit better. But that hasn't stopped things from going the other way in this game. You know, we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast a little bit, but there have been colossal upsets. One year, Pogrom beat Vets when Vets had one loss and Pogrom was winless. A couple years ago, similar situation to this one. Pogrom had just missed the playoffs. Vets had one win. Vets came in and won on Thanksgiving. So it's not always cut and dry and like it seems with this rivalry. And I think that is going to apply this year. That's not to say I think Pogrom's going to win, but I think it's certainly going to be competitive. When Pogrom has the ball, we look at Owen Kelly. I mean, that's the guy who makes the plays for them. He hasn't scored a ton just because the team hasn't scored a ton because they've been playing those really tough Division II B teams. But he's had a very good sophomore year. The team has been marred with injuries a little bit. The offensive line struggled some because they've had guys in and out of that group. They've had to move guys back to fullback. But the one constant has been Kelly in the backfield running the ball. Has kind of the knack for the big play. And you better bet he's the guy that Vets will be keying on, much like Pogrom will be keying on Jesse on the other side. You know, Vets is looking at Owen Kelly, and they figure if they can stop him, they probably stop the Pogrom offense.
Yeah, I think being physical will be key for Vets up front because they figure to be a little bigger in the trenches than Pogrom. And like you said, Kelly will be key, and Rob Quain had a good Thanksgiving game last year.
He ran for 100 yards.
And he ran for 100 yards last week, so he is probably playing as well as he's played in his career. So he could come out and have a big game. It's just going to boil down to another interesting matchup where you just don't know. It's going to be some team's going to rise up and play their best, and that's the way it goes in the Vets Pogrom rivalry.
Yeah, and when they both miss the playoffs, this is it. You know, this is the Super Bowl. Like we say before, it sounds cliche, but it is. I mean, this is as big as it gets this season, and there's nothing else to play for. You want to beat your rival, and with the added bonus, that's probably the last game. Emotions are going to be high. I mean, this is going to be an exciting, exciting game. Played at Vets this year, by the way.
Yes, moved to Vets.
Scheduled for Pogrom initially, but in kind of an olive branch, I guess, they moved it over to Vets because it may be the last game that a Vets team plays if the school closes down.
So we'll see what happens. We've got Vets winning this one in a close one, 20-13 over Pogrom. And our final Thanksgiving game to talk about, Hendricken taking on Tollgate. Up at Tollgate on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. This one has been a mismatch for a while now, especially in the last 3 years, and likely to be a mismatch again, but, you know, still a fun game for everyone involved, fun to go out there on Thanksgiving morning. And I think they'll just both be looking to play a solid game.
Tollgate wants to end its season on a relatively high note, you know, build a little bit towards next year, show that it's improved, try to be competitive. Just do the best it can, I guess, you know, is the way to put it. Hendricken has a playoff game on Tuesday against Portsmouth. Got to be excited for that. Of course, they've also won 21 straight in the series. Nobody wants to be the team that doesn't win, so it's not like they can just go out there and, you know, not play hard or not play their starters. They will certainly do that. And if the teams play to their levels, even if they both play well, I mean, it should be a fairly easy Hendricken victory. But it's a good chance for Hendricken to get some players in, for Tollgate to play one final game on a big stage. They're playing at home. And, like we said, with the Vets-Pogrom rivalry, this will likely be the last Hendricken-Tollgate game, which has been going on since 1972.
Yeah. It's a long time, and they're the only Thanksgiving rivals they've ever had. So while the rivalry has turned lopsided, maybe it doesn't seem to fit anymore, that this is it for them. You know, so they have been great rivals, good tradition in the series. Hendricken has won 3 straight Super Bowls, and along the way, they have shut out Tollgate on Thanksgiving in every one of those years. So, you know, maybe they want to keep that streak going.
Yeah,
a little good luck charm on their way to the playoffs. Tollgate, you know, last year on Thanksgiving, they played a pretty good game. They threatened to score a couple times. Jose Javier had 100 yards, led all rushers. So they'll be looking for that kind of effort again. And they're just going to come out and play hard, I think. You know, they're at home. They want to give a good last effort this season.
Well, one thing about Tollgate offensively is that when they play you for the first time, they can usually move the ball on those first few drives. You know, their offense is quick. Sometimes you're not adjusted to the speed. you think that the handoffs are going to take a little while longer than they do, and these fast dives, and you know they run some option, and there's a few different looks that they give you, and sometimes it catches teams off guard. I mean, I've seen it against Chowerho, I saw it against Woonsocket this year, where teams really don't know how to adjust to it, and usually that only goes on for about a half, and then the other team does manage to adjust some, but if Tolgate comes out and plays well initially, it's not inconceivable that it could catch Hendrickson's defense a little bit off guard, to misdirection, start to move the ball, and who knows, maybe get into the end zone. Size is a problem. Yeah. Size is an issue for Tolgate compared to Hendrickson. I mean, it's really no contest. I mean, Tolgate was small in Division 2A, which is smaller than Division 2B, which is smaller than Division 1.
Yes.
So this is going to be the biggest team they've played all year in Hendrickson, and obviously the best team that they've played all year. So for a team that went winless in Division 2A, you know, a win is a little bit hard to come by. But again, looking for positives, and I think those first few drives could be interesting to see if Tolgate can do something to get some confidence and get excited, and maybe force Hendrickson to keep their starters in a little bit longer than they want to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Tolgate is probably not going to be super intimidated by a Division I team. They've kind of been through the ringer this year, and they played Cranston East in Week 1, rushed for almost 200 yards in that game. So they know they can be on the same field with this team. I think the biggest key is just trying to stop Hendrickson, and I think that's going to be really tough for them. If Remington Blue, plays a decent amount in this game, he can probably dominate this game.
Yeah, you mentioned the size thing. I mean, when Hendrickson has the ball, it's just as big an advantage. I mean, they've been able to run the ball against pretty much everybody this year. You know, Division I opponents. You know, Remy's almost got 2,000 yards rushing, and against Tolgate, a smaller team, you wouldn't think they'll take to the air too much. There's almost no reason to, unless they get put in some third and longs or something. They should be able to run the ball well with Remington Blue and Gary Gibbs and a few other guys. And if they do that, I mean, the ideal situation for Hendrickson is to get up 35-0 at halftime, take the guys out, and rest up for Portsmouth. But
that's true.
The ideal situation for Tolgate is to make it a little bit closer than that, and I don't know, see if they can tie around Hendrickson a little bit and make a game of it in the second half.
So we've got the Hawks winning this one. We've got the Titans getting on the board, but Hendrickson winning 34-7. That's going to do it for our Thanksgiving edition of the podcast. We will be back next Tuesday. Monday. We'll be back next Monday with a playoff preview. Lots to talk about there.
We got Hendrickson for sure in the playoffs. And probably East or West.
East or West, yep. So lots to talk about there. But first, Thanksgiving, which is always a great time. So thanks for tuning in and enjoy the games.